Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, 39 books. Yeah, come on. Yo, seek ye out the book for y'all and read. Speak these words to plant the holy seed. Obey his voice, know him and believe. Understand his God is none but he. In the beginning, he told us the ending that we wasn't winning because of the sin and the 450 and how it's descending. He's a prophetic, and this is our genesis. So I exist, single didn't get learned. So we can number our days, the teachers that we were the slaves, and Deuteronomy, he's gonna get the most popular. When he anointed Joshua, it's proving that y'all love us, by sending the judges, rejecting the grudges, embracing the truth, of the nations of truth, is shown for proof, the woman that David come through, teach Samuel 1:8-2, y'all chosen the king, and you want to, recognition, chronicles, in the first and the second, and Ezra, Hot, Bohane, back by the river, Ahava, stood with Nehemiah, in the time of the doctor, better known as Esther, Job struck with disease and boils affected. And we giving our arms while singing Hebrew songs, the most wise words spoken in Proverbs, the collect, the teacher, Ecclesiastes, the preacher, fellas wanna reach us. Quote the song, the songs belong to style of Ma. Understand the way that I'm on. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Jerusalem fell. Also seen by Ezekiel, visions, visits be given to Daniel. God said to turn to him in prayer, remember Hosea. If we call on Yahweh, he'll remember the well spoken by Yoel. There's no other book as famous. The words get deeper in Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micaiah. There's none like Yah that rides on the whirlwind in Nehemiah. I'm giving you a look like he gave to Habakkuk. Gather yourselves and learn from Zephaniah. Consider your ways, word up to Hodiah. Cause this is the last days and men Zechariah. Remember the law of Moshe. And this has been 39 books given to you by Yeshua. Malachi, seek ye out the book to Yah and read. Speak these words to plant your holy seed. Obey his voice, know him and believe. Understand his Yah is none but he. Speak ye out the book to Yah and read. Speak these words to plant your holy seed. Obey his voice, know him and believe. Understand his Yah is none but he. Speak ye out the book to Yah.
Yeah, live free. Come on.
Fourth tribe.
100 centuries. Yeah, yeah. Let's go.
Take a look at my soul. Nothing left but these holes. They tried to take me down, but Yah is in control. So now I ask you, you suddenly black too. The oppressor ain't fair when he attacked. You started wars cause they tried to tax you. You should be asking who they was asking. Now what? Prices on our backs and the IRS wanted in on the back end. Lincoln was never down for emancipation, just good political relations to try to make a good case for the next election. Yet Jim Crow came right back in the field, certified with a government seal. Probably tried to stand up a deal. Sadly, he thought that Jesus was real. They gave us some fake news and education to keep us concealed.
Take a look at my soul. All I want to do is go.
with nothing left of me. I'm just horrid slavery. For hundreds of centuries, nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is be my yard and live free.
For hundreds of centuries of this horrid slavery. But Yah, he is the king.
We got a king,
and he will save me.
Yeah.
So now I ask you, will you drop to your knees and beg Yah, please? Don't you know that Yah is coming? It's like tomorrow. I can't even tell you the time on your Audemars. Just guard your heart, baby Paul, baby doll. Don't cry. Paparazzi never cared about them tears. No way, just spend my Yah all day. Resting him just like the song say. I'm waiting for the day that he sit on the throne. Till then I'm stuck in my zone. Staying focused on the day when he finally takes his home. Till then I'm prophesying to the drop on. Till that day that I'm gone. And Yah reveal what he has shown. That Yahweh is Elohim, is him and none alone.
Take a look at my soul. All I wanna do is go. There's nothing left of me of this horrid slavery. For hundreds of centuries, nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. Live free. Yeah. Look at my soul. All I wanna do is go. There's nothing left of me of this horrid slavery. For hundreds of centuries left for you to hold. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free.
I'm the messenger of Yah, stepping out of Beulah. From Babylon to Zion, my chains are looser in my mind. But out here, the Jakes are shooting. The judge judged for hire, the jury's a straight liar. Just to see Israel fried up. They got our phones tapped and wired up. The police got you stuck. No one desires us. This law requires us to buy this man's trust. Pay to get salvation. Who you playing? But I pulled your card. I seen your star. They false lights. My spirit spit lyrics so cold, your frostbite. And that's the attitude from your murderous flight. From your rapes every night. And young boys shot down in the street. In their mama's sight. Your oldest kids call this the good life. Like the hood's right. Black Zion, that's right. God's what that's right. The glory of
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Morey Isha Yisrael from the House of Israel, located at 2330 Kemper Lane, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. And we'd like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in our listening audience, for we know the only reason you have tuned into our program is because of your great love and your great fear toward the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the one that has raised us up to bring you his words of truth, and that's what we will do. And we're going to continue with what we've been teaching this week on negative spirits. And again, why will we deal with negative spirits? What is it about the negative spirit? We must bring you instruction and doctrine so that you can know about them. Well, it is because Yahweh is the creator of good and evil. Yahweh is the creator of light and darkness. Yahweh is the one who does it all. He's also the one who rules the spirit, who creates the spirit, who directs the spirit. So therefore, even negative spirits come from the creator. But why would the Most High even give you a negative spirit, even allow a negative spirit? What is the Most High trying to show you here? Let me show you what the scriptures say. In the book of Numbers, I think we want the 16th chapter. In Numbers 16, I want to start reading at verse 22. Where it reads, "And they fell upon their faces and said, O Elohim, the Elohim of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will thou be wroth with all the congregation?" So the point is, the creator is over all the spirits. He's the Elohim of all the spirits. There's not a spirit that Yahweh doesn't rule. Even look in the book of Numbers, the 27th chapter, establish what I'm saying. In 27 verse 16, it reads here, "Let Yahweh, the Elohim of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." Yes, Yahweh is the Elohim of all spirits. He created all the spirits. Let me even show you where it lets us know that Yahweh will even use a spirit that you think wouldn't be of the Creator. It's in the book of 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. 1 Kings chapter 22, we'll start reading in verse 20. It says, "And Yahweh said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up in fall at Ramoth Gilead, and one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before Yahweh and said, I will persuade him. And Yahweh said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, then thou shalt persuade him and prevail. Also go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, Yahweh hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. And Yahweh hath spoken evil concerning thee. So the Creator, he even will send a lying spirit. Now why would he send a lying spirit unto Ahab? Because if you look in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, you'll see what kind of man Ahab was. I think I want the 21st chapter. It says in the book of 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, about Ahab. It says in verse 24, him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. So Ahab sold himself to do wickedly, which brings us to what I believe I pointed out yesterday in the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4 reads, Yahweh hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. So even the wicked have a purpose under the Most High. It's for evil. And Ahab sold himself to do wickedness. Therefore, Yahweh would only send him a lying spirit. Because if he sent him a truthful spirit for Ahab, he would have listened to it anyway. So there's negative spirits that Yahweh has, but therefore negative people, wicked people. Look what it says in Psalms, the first chapter. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. These are negative people. So why would you be amongst the negative people if you want to be blessed? So to know about the negative spirits is a necessity, so you know what to not allow to be a part of you. For instance, in the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter. In Genesis, the 4th chapter, verse 6 says, and Yahweh said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? See, Cain had a negative countenance. He had a negative spirit. He felt bad. He felt angry. And Yahweh said, why do you feel like this? If you do well, you shalt thou not be accepted? And if you do as not well, sin lieth at your door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Which means, if you don't keep yourself in the well and good place, sin lies at your door, right there, ready to enter in to your heart. Right there. That's where sin is. And unto you, his desire shall be his desire. Meaning sin is there for your desire. And you will rule over this sin. You will become such a negative person, you will actually rule over sin. You will become the ruler of sin because you allowed it in and you allowed your desire to be fed by sin. Therefore, there's very important spirits we should avoid. And the way to do it is to know what they are. You got to know what they are. Here it is. The Creator says this in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, I believe. In the first verse, it says, behold, my servant whom I hold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. If you want to be the elect, you want Yah's spirit upon you. And to be the elect, to be the remnant, to be the chosen of the Almighty, you want the spirit of Yah upon you. And how do you have that? If you have this negative spirit, you can't have it. It's impossible. You won't have it. Yahweh won't allow it. So he wants you to know which spirits you should have as opposed to which spirits you shouldn't have. So the negative spirits that we've dealt with so far is pride. Was the first one. And as was taught, pride, this is you only caring about yourself, only caring about your own pleasure, only concerned with your own way, only happy about your own desire, not even considering the ways of the Almighty. Pride. You are the center of your own attention. And nobody else is allowed, which makes you the chief. And Yahweh said he is your Elohim. And haughtiness is lifting yourself up on high, putting yourself up above. And there's looks to haughtiness and pride. When you're prideful, your whole look says it's about me. When you're haughty, your look says I'm higher than you. But what is it about these spirits that really seal the deal that you're dealing with somebody that's not considering the Creator? That's arrogance. When you're arrogant, you start doing things that show that, yes, you have haughtiness about you and pride. Because what you're saying now is what your look was seeming like. This look you had, it seemed like this is what you were saying. But now you done opened your mouth and you have let the truth come out. You are a proud person. And look what it says in the book of 1 Samuel, the second chapter. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 reads, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in Yahweh. Mine horn is exalted in Yah. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as Yah, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our Elohim. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For Yahweh is an Elohim of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." See, this is what comes out your mouth. You're haughty, you're prideful, but what comes out your mouth is arrogancy. Now you're displaying, you're showing everybody now. You're letting it be known with the mouth that you are as arrogant as suspected. You are as haughty as perceived. You are as prideful as the look, because out of your mouth now comes arrogancy. And why is it that arrogancy is the thing that comes out of your mouth that shows that these negative spirits are about you? Because just like the order of three lets us know, it represents Yahweh's messenger. But that lets you know the order of three will represent messages also. This is where teaching is seasoned at, in the order of three. For instance, the children of Levi or Levi, the third tribe, they're the priests. Well, look what it says here in the book of Malachi, the second chapter. In Malachi, the second chapter, starting at the fifth verse, we'll see what Yahweh lets us know. "My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts." Which lets you know that the Creator fashioned messages that come through this order of three in this peculiar way. So when it comes to these negative spirits, you're going to see arrogancy in the order of three, because arrogancy is carrying the messages of your haughtiness and your pride. And now we know that you're arrogant. And look what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter, the 13th verse. And I'm going to show you also what arrogancy is. Right now, I'm showing you that arrogancy is what's coming out of your mouth. Arrogancy is what you speak. Arrogancy is what you vocalize. Pride is how you look. Haughtiness is where you believe you want to be or where you think you are. But arrogancy, it's carrying all of that. Because now we heard you speak, and now we know this is not the positive spirit, but the negative spirit. And in Proverbs 8 and 13, it reads, "The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth doth Yahweh hate." Why? Arrogance, because you can't have wisdom and be arrogant. Those things don't go. And what is arrogancy? Arrogancy, the Hebrew word for arrogancy means essentially excellency. It tells you it means to be proud, to swell up, to be haughty, to be lofty, but they all can't mean the same thing. And the scriptures don't define them as the same thing. But the same word that you see for arrogancy is the same word you see for glory and excellency, in excellence. And look what it says in the book of Psalms. Hold on for a moment. In the book of Psalms 68, verse 34. Psalm 68, verse 34 reads, "Ascribe ye strength unto Elohim," which means what? Ascribe. What do you do when you ascribe something? You write it down. You publish it. You let it be known. Ascribe strength unto Elohim. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the cloud. So excellency is something of rulership, of glory. This is what excellency is. You can even look at the book of Amos, the 8th chapter. In verse 7, and it says, "Yahweh hath sworn by the excellency of Yaakov, surely I will never forget any of their works." Why? Because the excellency is the glory. The excellency is the majesty. Comes with this power, that comes with this state of highness, that comes with this level of royalty, this excellency. There's light, there's glory. And Yahweh has given enough glory unto Israel. You don't need to add on any more glory. You don't need to speak of your own glory. You don't need to put your own excellency out there. All you need to do is walk in the light of Yahweh, and your excellency will go before you, because Yahweh will put that light upon you. It's very simple if you read and apply the word of the Creator. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, you'll see what it says. It says here in the first verse, "Who is a wise man? who is as the wise man? And who knoweth interpretations of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. So if you have wisdom, you'll shine. You're going to be known. You're going to show forth glory that Yahweh will give you. That's what it means, essentially, to be in the image of Yahweh. If you want to be in the image of the Creator, then walk in the way of the Creator. Why do you think it says walk in the light of Yahweh? If you walk in the way of the Creator, light will shine upon you. This is Scripture. This is what it says. Even in the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter. So you don't need to gather up your own glory. That's arrogancy. To speak of your own excellency. To speak as if you are glorious. You are this light on the top of a hill. No, this is not how the Creator wants you to be. It says in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of Yahweh is arisen upon you. That's what you want, the glory of Yah. But this is what the wicked do. The wicked want to put up their own glory. This is why the Creator brought down the Tower of Babel. This is why the Creator brought down Pharaoh. This is why the Creator brought down the wicked kings of the earth, and why he's bringing them down today. Because they have promoted themselves. They have spoke of their own glory. Look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, start reading in verse 29. It says, verse 26 says, I said, I would scatter them into corners, and I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men, were it not that I fear the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and Yahweh have not done all this. The Most High will not allow anyone to lift themselves up so high that out of their mouth they will be able to establish and say that they are the ones that have done this thing. They are the ones that have put forth their own strength and conquered. No, look what happened here. In the book of Daniel. The 4th chapter. Long, and I want to just get right to the meat of it. Let's start in verse 22 of Daniel, the 4th chapter. It says, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for your greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my master, the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to have the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, is not this great? You see what he's saying? You see what he's doing? He's speaking. He's saying something. He is doing the thing that will show forth his haughtiness, that will establish his pridefulness. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Why? Because of arrogancy. He proclaimed his own majesty. And the truth is, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and not man. But once you become so arrogant that you now show forth that you don't care about nothing else, it's all about you, you and only you. Even look in the book of 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter. Verse 2. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus ye shall say to him, be both to you and peace to your house, and peace unto all that you have. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show you. Wherefore let the young men find favor in your eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed from my shearers and give it unto men who I know not whence they be?" So what kind of man is that? It already told you he's evil and churlish. And how does he speak? What is his presentation? He's arrogant. He's dealing in arrogancy. Because when he opened his mouth, out came his haughtiness. Out came his pride. Out came the display that he only about himself. He know exactly who David is. If he didn't know who David was, he wouldn't have said, "Many people break away from their masters nowadays." He know David was on the run. This was front page news in Israel at the time. They knew what was going on. It wasn't no secret. They knew David was the chief warrior in Israel. They knew Saul wanted him dead. He knew who David was. He just played him to the left. Who's that? Who's David? Oh, I'm supposed to give him my stuff? I'm supposed to give him my food? I'm supposed to take away from my house? Well, that's arrogant. As if you are the only one. As if you are the greatest one. It's arrogancy. But a lot of our people are just like Nabal today. A lot of our people are. They have no compassion for their brother or sister. And that's why it tells you he's churlish, he's evil. I mean, he's a mean guy. He's mean and evil. You know, he's not a pleasant person because of his arrogance, because of his haughtiness, because of his pride. Look what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 20th chapter. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says, "Most men," which means the majority of men, most people that you'll find, "most men will proclaim," meaning speak of, declare, let it be known. Most men will proclaim every one of these men will proclaim everyone own goodness. Meaning most people are arrogant. Most men are arrogant. They're going to establish their own goodness. I have climbed this mountain. I have studied for these years. I have been such a good person. I have done these things. I deserve accolades. I will accolade myself. I am wonderful. Whatsoever did I do? Most men is going to be defending themselves. Most men are going to talk good on themselves. Most men is going to acknowledge themselves. And what is that? That's arrogancy. Because it says in the next sentence, "But a faithful man, who can find?" And why? Because a faithful man don't stand up and start talking about themselves. A faithful man will declare Yahweh's glory, Yahweh's excellency, Yahweh's work. A faithful man will give the glory unto the Creator, not to himself. That's not a faithful man. An arrogant man, on the other hand, is proclaiming his own goodness. You'll even see in the book of Proverbs, the 25th chapter, in the 27th verse. It says, it is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. Don't you understand? Arrogancy is the thing that comes out of your mouth when you attempt to establish and proclaim your own excellency, your own majesty, your own glory. And just like it's not good to eat a lot of honey, that means you get a little bottle of honey, take a little teaspoon, a little bit, every day, every other day, wherever. But don't eat the whole bottle. It's going to hurt your stomach. And if you search your own glory, where's my respect? Where's my light? Where's my shine? Where's my honor? Then it's going to hurt you. You're going to hurt yourself. Yahweh already let you know this. That's not glory at all. It's really arrogancy. Nobody want to hear that. You run around looking for your own glory. That's why I say promotion coming from the Most High. Let Yahweh promote you. Let Yahweh bring the glory to you. But do not search your own glory. That's just not good. Also, look in the same proverb. And look at verse 6. It says, put not forth thyself in the presence of a king, and stand not in the place of great men. Meaning, don't bring yourself to that place. Don't push your way in the presence of a king. And don't push your way into the stand with great men. You don't want to go there when you're not supposed to. For better is it that it be said unto thee, come up here, than thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Meaning, it's better to be promoted for someone to recognize you and ask you to come up, then you don't put yourself there, and then you get put down in front of the prince. Now that's going to be sad. Now your feelings going to be hurt, and you're going to be embarrassed, and you're going to feel low, and you're going to devalue yourself because you were searching your own glory. You wanted your own excellency instead of allowing honor to come to the humble, because that's how you get there. Through humility, but not through doing this on your own. That's why the Most High put down Nebuchadnezzar in that manner. Even look in Proverbs, the 21st chapter. Verse 2 reads, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Yahweh pondereth the hearts. So this excellency, you're going to be right in your own eyes. You're going to want your own glory. You're going to try to promote your own majesty, speak of your own goodness. And why? Because it's arrogant. It's arrogancy. Look what Yahweh said about the arrogant in Isaiah the 13th chapter. Verse 10 reads, for the stars of the heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. You see what the Creator feels about these spirits? He knows that this is the spirits that are about the wicked. So he says, I'm going to cause that arrogance to cease from the proud. Because that's what the proud talk about, themselves. That's why this man, look at what it says in Daniel, the 7th chapter. Start reading in verse 21. It says, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of his kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. Another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints in the Most High, of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand into a time and time and dividing of time. So you see, the fourth beast is one that speaks great words against the Most High, specifically this strange little horn that subdued three kingdoms. This one speaks great words against the Most High. What kingdom do you know speaks great words against the Most High? What kingdom do you know show forth all this arrogancy? There's only one kingdom I can tell you about that's as arrogant as this scripture displays, and that's your United States of America. Very arrogant people. Very arrogant nation. Arrogancy is the message of America. Speak of their own majesty. Speak of their own glory. Every time you hear a president, the United States is the greatest country in the world, the greatest country in history, the greatest democracy ever, the greatest form of government in the world, the greatest economy ever, the richest country ever, the richest country in the world. Everything they say is about their own majesty, their own glory, their own pomp, their own excellency. Everything is about them and how wonderful they are. Now the Most High done put a man in office that don't even know how to speak humble about himself or the country at all. There's nothing wrong that this man can do. Nothing wrong that he does as the leader. They say, Trump, you're leading over a country who's leading in deaths and leading in cases from this virus, COVID-19, and we think that is because you haven't implemented strict and consistent regulations on making sure people are safe. No, Trump says, well, we test the most. We do the greatest testing. We test the most, so we have the most cases because there's nobody to test like us. And we actually have the least deaths. But the number says you have the most deaths, but you said we have the least because you have 5 million people that are sick and only 180,000 you're recording died from it. So you're saying that margin is great, which makes us the least. Well, this country got 600,000 sick and 58,000 dead. That's worse, you're saying. No, that's not the truth. He just can't humble himself. He just won't speak less than arrogant. He won't speak less than haughty and prideful. Because that's who you have over the most arrogant nation in the world. One thing they do lead in is arrogancy. One thing they do lead in is pride. That's why they act the way they do over flags and symbols. Because it's pride and arrogancy and haughtiness. You can't tell them nothing. This is this fourth beast, this strange horn that speaks great words against the Most High. But there's another spirit that I wanted to touch on that comes right after arrogancy. Right along with arrogancy, this spirit will follow. You'll see it in the book of Isaiah, the 65th chapter. Matter of fact, two go hand in hand. And it makes sense that it would be the fourth negative spirit, because you're going to see how the difference is made. In Isaiah, the 65th chapter, first verse, it says, I am sought of those of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the mountain monument, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by yourself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. The spirit of being holier than thou is a horrible negative spirit, because you're trying to say, I'm different than you. Don't come near me. Even though you're an abomination, you're telling everyone else, I'm better than you. You can't come near me. You can't come close to me. I'm holier than you. And this is what happens in the fourth negative spirit. You create this division instead of creating this unity. You put a difference between yourself and somebody because of your own pride, your own haughtiness, your own arrogance. And now I'm too good to become like these folks. What happens is you do a little good or you don't. Some people don't need to do any good. Some people just make up this whole world that they the stuff, even though, like Yahweh said, you eat swine, you eat abominable things, you don't call on me, you don't consider me, you don't think about me at all, but you all of a sudden can't have nobody near you. You all of a sudden is too good. Some people don't do good at all, and they holier than now. Some people do a little dabble of good. They got an A on their test. They gave a poor man a dollar one day in 1998. They did something good, and now all of a sudden, you can't tell them nothing. You can't be near them at all. There's nothing wrong they can do. There's no wrong they can be. There's no evil that come near them. They can't even come down to your level. They can't understand how you can even be the way you are. Well, if you are that way, don't come near me. Don't come in my center. Don't come in my circle. Don't come in my house. Don't come near me at all. Don't even talk to me. I don't even talk to people like that. And you know who does this the most? Israel. Israel does this the most. The most rebellious house on the planet acts as if ain't nobody can come near them. They too good. That's who does this the most. Look what it says in the book of Isaiah, the 56th chapter. We'll start reading in the first verse. Thus saith Yahweh, keep ye judgment. Why? Why keep judgment? Because this is how you will stay in order, by keeping Yah's judgment. And do justice. Be, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness is to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, and keep the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to Yahweh speak, saying, Yahweh hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith Yahweh unto the eunuchs that keep my Shabbat and choose the things that please me. And take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves unto Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Shabbat from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Yahweh Elohim, which gathereth the outcast of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. Which lets you know what? You can't be holier than now. Because Yahweh will bring eunuchs and strangers into his nation, unto his holy mountain, unto his holy people. He will even give eunuchs and strangers a better name than you, holier than thou, having spirit, arrogant speaking, haughty behaving, prideful looking, rebellious Israelite. He'll give a name to a stranger above you because you took on the negative spirit and said, nah, you can't come near me. Instead of saying, are you joining yourself under Yahweh? If you are joining yourself under Yahweh, then let me see. You taking on this covenant? Are you adhering to the ways of the Creator? Then we would know you serving Yah. And if you are doing that, and Yahweh said, the ones that do take hold of him will be his servants. who are you to say they won't be just because they don't look like you, sound like you, talk like you? Where in the book does Yahweh say, only nappy-headed Negroes will I save? Nowhere in the book does Yahweh say that. He will say, the righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon them. He has no pleasure that the wicked shall die, but that the wicked shall turn from their evil ways and live. So Yahweh doesn't even take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why would you believe it is okay to be holier than thou and reject anybody just because you think you better? This is a negative way to be. This is a negative spirit. And this comes by way of arrogancy, by way of haughtiness, by way of proud or pridefulness. And nobody wants to really deal with those kind of people anyway. Those kind of people have expiration dates. Their spirits fail them. You won't last in that way of life. That's why it says pride go before the destruction and haughty spirit before fall. Because once you decide to behave holier than thou, you're saying that you can't be touched. You can't be dealt with. But there's a way the Most High wants us to be. And I'm going to show you this way that Yahweh wants us to be, which should eradicate, disintegrate, completely annihilate these spirits in the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter. All you have to do is listen to Yahweh. Hearken to the Creator. In Leviticus, the 19th chapter, look what he says. In the first verse. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. And you would think that Yahweh said he don't want you to be holier than now, so why he wants you to be holy? Because when you're holy, that doesn't give you, when you're really holy, that doesn't give you the spirit of holier than thou. Holy means you know that you're sanctified. You're set apart in Yah, with Yah, by way of Yah. And the way of Yah allows other people to be holy, allows other people to do the right thing. But it's the law for you, Israel, to be holy. It's the commandment to be holy. Because Yahweh, your Elohim, is holy. So that's what you should be. And look what he says about this holiness. Verse 11 reads, now he told you you should be holy, and now he's going to show you some ways to be holy. You shall not steal. So don't take stuff that don't belong to you. Neither deal falsely. Don't be fake. Neither lie one to another. Tell the truth. And you shall not swear, and you shall not swear by my name falsely. Don't do no false. Don't be swearing to Yah and it be a lie. Neither shall you profane the name of your Elohim. I am Yahweh. You shall not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him of his wages of him that is hired shall not abide with you all night until the morning. You shall not cause the deaf, nor you shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. These are things that you would think are common sense. Who would want to curse the deaf? They can't even hear you. Who would want to put a stumbling block before the blind? They can't see that. That's messed up. But people do this. But you shall fear your Elohim. I am Yahweh. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Verse 15. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. Which means it don't matter if he's poor. You'll be like, well, I understand why you raped her. You're poor and you don't get to be around that type of thing. No, that's not how that works. Or I understand why you killed somebody. You're rich and you just didn't know what it means to do wrong. No, that's not how that works. If you broke the law, you broke the law, whether you're rich or you're poor. You have to judge your neighbor righteously. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. Neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. If you seek to not be holier than thou, to not be arrogant, haughty, and prideful, then these things you would be able to do, especially when it comes to these things that I'm talking about, not being a talebearer. Only the arrogant does this. Only the prideful does this. Only the haughty does this. Just talebearer. Just disregard the law of the Most High and start talking about other people. In verse 17, it says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. And that's an important one. Don't hate your brother in your heart. But you reject them when you say that you're holier than them and they can't come near you. You're rejecting them. And that's your own brother. Oh, I'm too holy for this. I'm too holy for that. You can't come near me, brother, even though you're my brother. What did he say you should do with your brother? He said in verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yahweh. Ain't nobody want to be dealt with an arrogant and haughty and prideful and holier than thou spirit. You don't want to be treated that way. And if you love yourself, you shouldn't treat others that way. This is simple advice that goes over most men. Because most men will proclaim their own goodness. So most people will decide that I'm already good and you're not, and therefore I can be here and you can't. I can say this and you can't. I can be this way, but you can't. I can curse you, but you better not curse me. I can sin against you, but you better not sin against me. Because I'm not going to keep this law. Because I'm already excellent. I'm already high. And I'm already happy about doing what I do. I don't need what you do. That's a negative spirit. Yahweh wants you to just love your neighbor as yourself. Yahweh wants you to love your brother as yourself. Yahweh wants you to love the stranger as yourself. That's what he wants you to do. When you love, then you're showing forth the goodness of Yah. But when you hate, you're showing forth that holier than thou, that arrogance, haughtiness, and pride. Because you're showing forth these evil ways that create division, that breed destruction, that only set you up for a fall, and that make sure you don't have no glory, but darkness and dimness. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Hallelujah. Shalom.
Yeah, 39 books. Yeah, come on. Yo, keep me out the book of Yah and read. Speak these words to plant your holy seed. Know him and believe. Understand his Yah is none but he. In the beginning, he told us the ending that we wasn't winning because of the sin and the 450 showers descending. He's a prophetic, and this is our genesis. So I exited sin within it.
Remember the well spoken by your elders. There's no other.